What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Self-Helpless podcast. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And I'm Taylor Tomlinson. And Kelsey and I just looked at each other like, is it you?
Are you? And I know it's not me. Let's just be real.
We don't let Delaney do the intros anymore. She kind of blew that. You guys know. If you're new to this podcast, Delaney's terrible at doing the intros. You're all caught up. Welcome to the family.
You know what? Kelsey, like a couple weeks ago, told me not to slap the table. And I just fucking did that. Because she's like, yeah, we can hear it, so maybe just try not to. And I'm blowing intros and I'm slapping tables. I'm just going to go sit in the corner for half the episode.
It sounds like there's a street musician sitting in on our podcast episodes. It's just like hitting bongos. And I was listening to it back like, what is that sound? And I was like, oh, Delaney.
It's me.
Delaney just slapping the table.
You know those like awful people who like slap their knee when they think something's funny? I'm one of those awful people.
But
like,
you hit whatever's loudest.
I will hit whatever's near me or like my own body or
you're
somebody else's
slapper.
Body. I'm totally a thigh slapper.
Yes.
It's ridiculous and uncalled for. And I apologize.
Oh my God, I love you. Do you have a quotable?
Yeah, actually, the quotable this week, well, the one that I chose actually is the first quote that pops up on Happy on Netflix, which we'll be discussing.
Yes.
And perfect. It is, the Constitution only guarantees the American people the right to pursue happiness. You have to catch it yourself. Good old B. Franklin.
B. Franks.
Oh, B. Franks. Killing the game.
Benny Franks. Yeah. We love him.
Which, hey, it's true. The pursuit of happiness can be very unhappy. It can be a real tough time.
Yeah.
You got to kind of choose to be happy.
I love how tough love that quote is. It's just like, look, you have the opportunity.
Right.
Don't mess it up.
Yeah. Exactly. It's on you, man. And then I had another one that I pulled from the Happy documentary as well. Try to work so that you'll be able to live your life in tranquility. So more of that balance concept that we're always talking about on this podcast. Like, obviously, you have to work. That's just how society is, unless you come into a lot of money through
Kardashian.
unless you're Kardashian. But trying to find that balance that you can do something that you love and make enough money that you can also have enough time to be happy and pursue other things
Absolutely.
As well. So even if you love your job, you still have to be able to do things outside of that that make you happy.
Yeah.
So
got to diversify the ego.
Oh, yes.
As we have talked about.
I love it.
Oh, gosh.
Treat yourselves and things like that? I feel like I have kind of like a new segment. I know I had a new segment.
Oh, you invented a new segment every time.
I know. Last time I said good shit.
Yeah. This week on Say What?
I have one called Fuck Me, because
You know, we talk about like a lot of like the fuck moments with other people where like that person was an asshole. Well, yeah. I was accidentally an asshole to somebody and I want to talk about it. Not like, I mean, it's a normal asshole-ish thing where you just accidentally cut somebody off like when you're driving. Yeah. And I did it like real bad and I just felt terrible. And like the lady's honking at me and flipping me off. And I'm like, I know, I'm so sorry. There's nothing I can do. I am a piece of shit. And it's like, yeah, what can you do? Like in that moment, you either like just you pretend like it's not happening, or you flip them off back, or you just apologize and they can't hear you. Yeah, like it's just like nothing. I'm in a weird spot. I'm like, I just have to let you hate me for 30 seconds until this light turns green. You know? So
and it's so uncomfortable. I hate being honked at so much. I had a similar thing where I was getting off the freeway and I just wasn't paying attention and cars were coming, but there was a lane that was fully open. Like I could have turned right and there's a car behind me just honking this really loud. And I was like, hey, like there are cars coming. And like, and then I looked at this and I was like, oh God. And I said, I'm sorry, you were right, my bad.
Right.
And he zoomed, and you know when like people finally get around you and they just like, and you're like, oh, they're gonna crash and it's gonna be my fault because they're just on one now.
Dude, this woman, she slowed down so she could look me in the eye and flip me off like that. She was so mad to the point where I knew she was staring at me, but I didn't look at her because I was scared.
You can't.
And I was just going, I'm sorry. But I didn't want her to see my face.
You can do like prayer hands, and you're just like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, and I'm like, you know,
there's no good way.
There's no good way. Like, hey, I misjudged the amount of time I had to get into this spot.
Yeah,
it was my bad. But like, you can either you can be mad all day at me, or you can just get over it. And just...
I wish you could hit a button on the back of your car.
I was just going to
where,
say
where like lit, it lights up and it just goes like my bad,
dude.
So they know.
I was literally just about to say that, like some dashboard buttons that you can either hit and be like, dude, totally on me.
Yeah,
I accept responsibility, or like, no, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just let them know what you're feeling. And I feel like driving is one of those things that everybody makes mistakes all the time.
Yeah,
but when you're the one not making a mistake, there's zero compassion.
Oh, totally.
I feel like, because I'll be an asshole on the road. If somebody's like on their phone and they're sitting at a green light, I will honk. I will speed around and be like, the fuck, man.
Yeah.
But oh my God, how many times have I been that person on my phone and then I get honked at and I'm like, sorry. You know,
my bad. This is an adorable mistake.
Yeah. So it really,
no, there's
a lot of compassion on the road.
Absolutely. Oh, no, I'm a terrible person when I drive because, no mercy at all. I'm yelling at people. I'm swearing. I am just a complete opposite person in my car than I am outside of my car.
Yeah, I have a little road rage.
I definitely have some built up road rage. Like, it's just like all my frustrations come out on this like stranger in front of me.
No patience.
That's how I
no patience on the road.
Yeah
Mine kind of varies. I've totaled two cars, so I feel like I totaled my car when I was 16 and I totaled my car a year and a half ago.
How?
By being shitty at driving.
No.
Well, when I was 16, it was more of a situational thing where it was like I was turning left uphill and there was like a bush right here and they just come down really fast. It was still my fault for pulling out, but like there were accidents there all the time.
Oh,
and I was just 16 and I didn't pull out fast enough.
Oh, okay.
And I was like sick at the time and it was just, you know, so it wasn't that bad. But then like the other time I was driving back from San Diego from a show and I was looking down at my phone because my GPS was rerouting. And the reason it was rerouting is because traffic, you know, when like traffic just kind of stops and it's in the middle of the night, so you don't expect it. So it started slowing down and I was looking down and I didn't, and I just rammed into the back of this van, like full of a family, and
felt horrible.
And I only spoke to the mom and she was like, I mean, obviously annoyed, but she, to her credit, very compassionate about it. Cause I was like,
Like
weeping. I felt so terrible. And she was like, yep, no, it's just an unfortunate situation. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so big of you. I'm sure you hate me. Just this stupid 20-something piece of shit. It's not great. But I just drive. Yeah. I drive so much that I'm like, of course.
It's bound to happen.
It's bound
to
happen.
It's like a numbers game.
Yeah.
So if we go on tour, you're not driving. It's all I'm
doing. No.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
You don't drive. You don't do the intros.
Yeah.
We're figuring it out. Chelsea, you're going to have to carry this group.
Yeah. Oh, there's something I can do.
You're going to have to be team mom for sure.
Guide my little chicks.
Got my little chicks crossing the road.
That's my fuck me.
That's your fuck me.
Feel free to add to it for next time.
I like that one.
Yeah. What was the one you... Oh, I had a good shit. Is that a good...
Oh, yeah. That's the good shit from
last time. I think I had a defuck too, but I forgot what it was. Good shit. I mean, I had an extra long appointment with my therapist today because usually on the Talkspace app it's 30 minutes, but she was traveling 1 week and she's like, so I can't talk to you this week, but do you want to do a longer session? I was like, hell yeah, I do.
That's amazing.
Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So I had a long session with her, and I had a session with her last week that was good too. And I'm really getting to some stuff in therapy right now, you guys.
Exciting.
Between therapy and like phone calls with you two, I'm doing a lot of like I spend most of therapy just going, and then my friend Delaney said and she's like, that's a really good point. I'm like, I know, right? You just have to sit here and be like, yeah, no, I feel like I'm figuring out a lot of stuff about like my patterns and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I've had various conversations with you guys. I was in Reno over the weekend, and I know there were a few podcast listeners who came out, so thank you for doing that. And I was like working on new material, but I was also like, I was just having like a weird emotional time. You know, sometimes you're on the road and you're just by yourself and you're in a casino and you're like, I don't like it here. Some creepy dude came up to me when I was sitting and like waiting for a to-go order, which is like the last possible time you want anyone to say anything sexual to you. And he just came up and he goes, so my friend told me no. And I was like, what? And he's like, my friend told me not to, because you're obviously engaged with someone else. And I said, yep, nice to meet you. And luckily he took the hint and kind of stumbled off. But I was just like, I'm staying in my room the rest of the time.
That's the worst. When you just feel like you can't leave the confines of your... Yes.
I couldn't leave. Room. Thank God he left, because I was waiting for food, and I'm not going to abandon food for some creepy dimpling. All right, we're going to wait for these eggs together.
Take a lot more.
But I've realized, and I don't know if I talked to you guys about this too, but I've realized I do this in relationships where when it's like newer, I try to jump ship like a few weeks in, which it's happened with every single person I've ever dated. And so the person I'm seeing now, I've seen like, it's been like 6 weeks, and I was all last week feeling like this is probably done, like this is probably over, and it was completely my own thing, like just my own, and I didn't take the time to really think about how I am and how that is a pattern for me. And just through a combination of like talking to you guys and like talking to my therapist, I kind of came to that conclusion and was like, I just need to be aware of the self-destructive patterns I have, because I think when I start getting like vulnerable, I start poking holes and stuff, and I go like, this isn't gonna work, like it's what's the point? And Kelsey and I had a talk where you brought up a really good point that really hit me, because I haven't really tried to date anybody that I didn't know very well since I started doing comedy full-time and traveling all the time the last like 3.5 years. And Kelsey was telling me, she was like, yeah, she's like, I don't know how that would be, like trying to like, she's like, even if I met Kane right now, like that would be so hard to be gone all the time and trying to get to know somebody. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'm not like crazy or disinterested or anything like that. I'm just having trouble. It's hard to build momentum.
Totally.
When you are gone all the time.
Totally.
And it's so annoying. I really just want to be a teacher and be able to like get dinner a couple times a week and like have a normal, we talked about this on the Patreon, like get on Patreon, everybody. Very subtle slip in there. I didn't even plan that. You were talking about, you know, just being gone every night and like how it feels like vacation coming home to Cam, and I'm like, that sounds amazing.
It's hard enough like when you're in the same city every night to have a good relationship and develop a new one. I can't imagine being traveling as much as you guys do and trying to like stay connected and see each other enough and talk enough. But it's like, it's the weird beginning phase where like, I don't want to talk too much with him and I don't want to talk too little. It's like, what's the right amount? But it's like, all that shit flies out the window in this situation because it's not a conventional situation that you're dating in.
Totally.
You know, so you kind of have to like make up the rules as you go and what works for you both.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, and kind of have some, you know, some like ground rules. I'm like, hey, you know, like we probably have to talk on the phone and Skype and text way more than people that live in the same city and that see each other way more often. Like, I don't, you know?
I'm trying to reframe it, actually. I was trying, because he's busy too, so it's yeah. like everybody's schedule is rough.
Sure.
But I tried to reframe it where I was like, why am I trying so hard to, like, you know, like, make sure this doesn't work out, or like make sure to, like, I'm just being very controlling of the situation. Mm. And really, it's kind of the best situation for me right now. We're like, I'm so busy and I'm so gone all the time, and it's just like an easy thing. Like, it's not, there's not too much pressure on it yet, and I should probably be really enjoying this portion of it, like, right. it, as opposed to trying to get to where I'm used to it, which is in the past, like, I'm in a relationship really quickly,
right,
and it's very serious and it's right away, and then it's like I just start to resent that person because I'm gone all the time, and it starts getting in the way of my career or whatever, which feels like such a douchey thing to say. But it does, like, whenever something doesn't work out with somebody, there is part of it that's like, oh, I skipped this show, I canceled this for you.
Yeah.
Like, and you can't hold that against people because that was what you wanted to do, but that's right. like the unhealthy yeah. place you're bringing.
So what have you learned the most? Like, where do you think this kind of stems from, as you mentioned?
I think just the need to control everything.
Mm.
I think that's really what I've been working on. And that's the good shit, is just getting to a point where I need to realize, like, I can't control anything. And I'm so busy trying to, and this kind of goes back to something from the documentary today that I loved, which they were talking about happy people recover from adversity quickly.
Yeah.
And that's something I talked to my therapist about, where I was like, oh, I just need to trust myself to bounce back from things not going the way I want them to, as opposed to clenching so goddamn hard all the time so that nothing bad happens in the first place.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
Because that's what perfection is.
So hard. Just like playing defense. Just like, okay, making sure everything's going to be perfect.
Yes.
Of course. Nothing's perfect. And then it's that much more devastating when it's not, because you were expecting it to be. Whereas if you just, like, you know, do your best, but are also like a fucking human being about it, and not make yourself, you know, it's just a lot.
Ugh, I hate being a perfectionist.
You're doing good work.
That's like going to be my life's work, is figuring out how to handle the perfectionism. I think every problem in my life, it all comes down to that.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
It's every day battle.
Yeah. Absolutely. Every unhappiness, any uncertainty in my life, it all comes down to the perfectionism.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Relationships, really career, anything is all about, like, trying to make everything perfect. It's tough. Mm-hmm. It's very brutal.
Man.
Well, Kels, what do you got?
Well, let me tell you. Mine is basically all treat yourself stuff. I was telling you guys about it a little bit before we started recording, but I had my consultation with Alex.
Yes.
Did we speak about this last episode, that I had my consultation with her?
I think you had it scheduled, maybe.
I don't think we talked about it because I got mine on Wednesday.
Okay.
I don't think we've discussed.
So if you have not heard our nutrition episode yet, go back and listen to it, because Alex Catalano, am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm.
She was incredible.
Yeah.
By far one of the best guests we've ever had. She got so many new clients, she said.
That's
great. Did I tell you guys this? She told me at the beginning of our session, she goes, by the way, like, I just want you guys to know, you have something really special with your podcast, because I've gone on a lot of podcasts and I've never gotten so much, like, business and people reaching out to me
after podcasts
than your guys's.
Our listeners, like, are the best.
They really are. You guys are. Seriously, you guys are the
people
best.
People are taking notes. Oh, I loved it.
Yeah. You can go, they're all type A.
Yeah.
Just like us.
Because I think most people in general like the idea of going to see a nutritionist at some point in their lives, but you know, you kind of drag your feet and you're like, I don't know if I want to spend money. How do I go to somebody that I know is legit?
Yeah.
Well, we cut out the middleman for you guys. Like, we had a great person on that we know is amazing and it's fucking free.
Yeah.
You can listen to the episode and learn so much. And then if you want a more thorough session with her, reach out to her, because she's incredible.
Yeah.
So I had my session with her, and she really kind of kicked my ass in terms of, like, okay, this is what you need to try. So I'm trying no grains and no sugar for 2 weeks.
Oh.
Which is really brutal.
Yeah.
You're allowed to do fruit.
She really doesn't want me to have fruit.
See, that sounds like Whole30.
Yeah, I mean,
so grains as in pasta,
as in
French fries,
even as
fries,
those are the grainiest grains.
It's so severe that it's not even like, no oatmeal, no, like, brown rice cakes, even things that I was eating that I was like, oh, these are healthy.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how many grains I was still eating, because I cut out bread and I cut out cheese,
right?
And so I was like, oh, I'm fine. I'm eating a normal amount. But then I really talked to her about it, and I was like, oh, this is actually kind of a lot of grains.
Grain
and I've
heavy.
Felt bloated all the time for months now. I just feel like I hit winter real hard this year, you know.
Hit winter real
put
hard.
That chocolate that chocolate bot on. And yeah, I mean, I think I've said before on the podcast that when I moved here 3 years ago, I weighed 15 pounds less than I do right now. And which for me like that's quite a big difference because I'm, you know, like a
petite
person. Yeah. And it's a bummer to know that like I could look and feel a lot better, but I just have chosen to not. Take it as seriously anymore. So sure. I needed somebody like her to kind of keep me accountable, despite the fact that it also makes us want to rebel against it a little bit
so
more.
So much.
We were talking about that.
Oh my God.
But I started it today and it is really intense. It's not super fun, but I feel like it's going to make me feel so good that it'll be worth it.
Yeah.
So,
you just got to get over the hump.
Yeah. So I went to the store and I bought like frozen spinach for smoothies in the morning. Ooh. She dropped off. Yeah,
sorry, that was
it's a natural reaction.
Oh my God.
She dropped off some protein powder samples that are made of like bone marrow.
Oh, shit.
And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is so intense. So I'll be reporting back to you guys for sure. And then another treat yourself is that I dropped $40 on a water bottle, which I like never thought in a million years I would ever spend that kind of money on a water bottle.
Yeah.
But one of my best friends is a YouTube beauty lifestyle guru, and she raved about this. It's called the Swell water bottle. They are not a sponsor of ours, although I would love for them to be.
Yeah.
Swell.
Get in
if
there.
You ever want to be part of the podcast, hit us up. There are these amazing like aluminum bottles that stay, if you put cold water in there, it will stay like ice cold. I'm not kidding, like ice cold for up to 12 hours.
Nice. Oh, wow.
It's amazing. And a problem for me is just traveling all the time. I kind of got into a rut where I was just buying water at the airport just, it's not good for the environment. It gets expensive. You just feel kind of like, I just always felt like I was in the reserves of like, okay, I got to get water when I get to the airport. But if I run out there, then where else am I going to get water? And I was just like, just have a bottle of water with you idiot. So you're making your life way harder. So anyway.
It's really cute.
Thanks. It's really, it's like marble on the outside. It's beautiful.
Nice.
So
pretty.
Swell water get bottles. Swell. If you guys get are looking for one, I highly recommend them.
Speaking of treat yourselves, we all saw this new movie, Dear Dictator.
Yes.
It's a comedy starring who, Kelsey?
Michael Caine.
I love every time you do that. Katie
I'm
Holmes.
Never ready for it.
Katie Holmes is in there, if you're wondering what she's been doing. Odea Rush, Seth Green, Jason Biggs. Pretty great cast, honestly. And Michael Caine plays this dictator of an island nation who becomes pen pals with a teenager in America who's Odea Rush, which if you saw Lady Bird, she's like the really pretty popular girl in that,
yes.
who's like always tan. And you're just like, oh yeah, I remember hating you. And like some sort of political turmoil like forces him to like flee from his island, and like he goes to her house in the suburbs.
It's a brilliant
and hides out. Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It could have. It's one
so
of those
smart.
Movies. It could have just been a sketch, and they were like, "We're gonna make a whole movie."
Yeah.
So yeah, you guys can watch it on DVD or iTunes. It's available now. So if you guys want to check it out, Dear Dictator.
Check that out.
Check that out.
All right.
All right. Let's get into this.
Dive into the
meat.
We
have been meaning to do this for a while. There's a documentary called Happy on Netflix. It's relatively short. It's only like an hour 15 or something.
Yeah, it's pretty short.
It's pretty quick. And it's just all about, you know, happiness. People all over the world, like being happy, finding happiness after different situations in different countries and in varying degrees of wealth or poverty. Yeah. It was, you know, I wasn't sure if it was going to be that great, and I actually got a lot out of it.
Me too.
I took really a lot of notes.
I took a lot of notes,
I
too.
Took a lot of notes, and I think it's been out for a while because I think I've watched it
2011.
Before. Okay, that makes a lot of sense because I think I watched this in college.
Okay, yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm pretty sure I watched this in a class. But yeah, no, I really liked it. I think it brings up some really good points, and they do find, what do you call it, commonalities between people who are happy, which I think you can apply to your own life.
What I thought was, you know what, how I knew it was made in 2011, when they got to the point with the comedian / educator at the school,
yeah.
I was like, oh yeah, this has been a while.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That dated it a little bit.
Sure.
I couldn't believe how they said like dopamine decreases as you get older. I didn't know that.
Did I didn't know that either.
I
know.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your synapses decrease. I have it right here. Yeah. Slowly using dopamine. Oh yeah. As you age slowly, dopamine synapses not regenerating. Oh, they don't regenerate. So you lose them and they can't come back.
Yeah. So you have to like run more.
Not helping
to get
me
happy.
Get happy. Think about that.
Yeah. Which can lead to Parkinson's. So it's the whole use it or lose it that the guy says it kind of applies to your brain. That you need to incorporate activities that force you to use dopamine so you don't lose those synapses, which is basically exercising in novel ways.
Yeah. Which, it's interesting how happiness is like a muscle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. So I like exercising in novel ways. I get very bored with my exercise. I will never be a person who's like, I do cardio bar and I've been doing it for 7 years every Sunday. Like I have to do belly dancing for a month and then I have to do like yoga in my bedroom and then I have to go on hikes every, you know, I have to always switch up or I get so bored. I cannot just walk on a treadmill and call it a day.
Oh no.
It's my nightmare.
Yeah, I couldn't do that. Yeah. That's why being on the weekly volleyball league has been like a lifesaver. It's so much fun. I'm getting to a point. I actually wanted your guys' opinion on this because I pay $80 for like 8 weeks of volleyball.
Nice.
And there are like in the next 3 weeks, I have shows booked every night that the volleyball games are. And there are some of them are local shows. And it's like, oh, man, I would rather be at the volleyball game. Like, I'm sad to miss the volleyball game. But they're paid comedy shows and there's part of me that feels like that's irresponsible to turn down a good paid comedy show, but it's it's kind of a bummer. I don't know what
can you reschedule them? Can you get a new date for any of them, even if it's just one or two
for the shows?
Yeah,
no. They're like, I mean, I can tell you guys afterward what they are, but they're like, you know, clubs where it's harder. You don't have that sort of like, hey, man,
right?
I got a volleyball game downtown.
Yeah.
You know,
is like, volleyball ongoing or is it just one session and done?
It's ongoing.
Okay.
But it's like, I also want to make the most of my money. And I do. I just, it makes me so happy. I had these feelings on the court last week where, like, after we had like a good rally and maybe I made a good play and I was like, wow, that, I mean, it's like a drug. It lit something up in me that I hadn't felt in a long time.
It's
like,
nice. Is it the same day every week?
It's either Wednesdays or Thursdays.
Okay. So it maybe going forward, you try not to book shows on Wednesdays or Thursdays and just try to keep, or at
it's
least.
It's so hard. It's I mean, so hard. You know.
I know. It's
or find a volleyball league that has games on Mondays and Tuesdays.
That's true.
You just don't, it's actually so few and far. Or it's way, way, way like beach games down in like Marina Del Rey, which I'm not going to. So it's tough, but volleyball, foosball, they just make me feel so good. And it's
just happiness.
Is happy.
Choose happiness. Yeah, I mean, try to cut down. That's what we're all trying to do, right? We're trying to add more things that we enjoy. That makes life worth living.
Yeah. It's so hard to find the balance. Well, and it sounds like what I loved what they were talking about in the documentary about flow, experiencing flow.
Yeah.
That feeling of like whatever makes you, you're in the zone. You feel like life is worth living. And they were showing people, you know, like exercising or sailing or being creative or cooking. And if you're experiencing that with volleyball, I mean, because I know obviously stand-up brings us that.
Yeah.
But, you know, you go through phases with it because stand-up is more of like a marriage or sometimes
and a job.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
And
your livelihood
your
depends
job.
On it. So it's like that's that weird line of like have to and love it kind of thing.
Yes, exactly. I feel like I get in the flow with like writing and I feel like I've been in that the last couple weeks where I've been writing a lot and it feels great. But then once you slip out of it, you're like, oh no, how do I get back in?
Yeah.
So that when they put it in such clear terms in the documentary, I was like, oh man, I know exactly what that is, and it is the best feeling ever.
Absolutely.
And I should probably find some other things that make me feel that way.
Yeah,
because I don't know. I was gonna do this as a treat yourself. I got really high when I got home yesterday, like really high with a new vape pen that I got from Higher Path, and
the dosist.
No,
different one.
Dosis is
the
one putting me to sleep. No, she got, so I got a vape pen also, and, or a vape dab, I don't know, whatever. It's a pen. And then the other one is like the little Dosis one.
Yeah.
I've just been using that to sleep.
Oh, okay.
And this one was the one like, she's like, you can use this to get high during the day. And I hadn't been high during the day in a really long time, probably like since February. And I got so high, like at one point, like my sisters got home and I was just laying in the dark and my sister's like, how long have you been in here? And I started like hysterically laughing and and then I was just crying, then I was just weeping and it felt great. I was like,
Jesus.
I didn't know I needed all this, but it was awesome.
Oh man.
So that was flow.
Painting does that for me. I forget everything when I paint.
Yeah.
Time disappears when I paint, whether it's painting my dick mugs or painting on canvas or just like doing anything creative. also organizing and decluttering, I get in that flow.
Oh,
and like,
yes. Sure.
Holy shit, it's like snorting cocaine where I could just do it for hours.
Yes. Yeah.
Like endless.
Yeah. Like, I am still downsizing and I don't have a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to get rid of Cam soon.
Well, and I
gotta go. Cam, you can say, but the clothes gotta go. Yeah. So
I thought about that too, during, because a lot of this was hitting on, I felt like, minimalist stuff, where this documentary just makes you feel like a dick for wanting things.
Oh, 100%.
Where it's just like, this is a rickshaw driver and he's so happy.
Yeah.
One of his walls is a
tarp.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's like way happier than you, and sometimes they just eat rice, but they're good. And you're like,
hard
wow,
open.
I am an asshole.
Yeah.
Right.
It's very anti-consumerism, definitely. But
yes.
Here's the thing about the whole rickshaw driver situation. Do you think if he was exposed to a different lifestyle for a month that he could go back to that lifestyle and be happy?
I thought that too. No, well, ignorance, you know, is bliss.
That's the hedonic, right? The hedonic treadmill.
Yes.
I think where they said if you live a lifestyle, you're gonna get used to it and just want more.
You always want to one up yourself.
Yeah.
Totally
agree with that.
That's how like the makeup community just brings in so much money. Cause once you get into this level of like consumerism, they'll just keep putting new shit out and make you feel like, oh, I need that. And you forget about the brand new thing you got a week ago that back then was the brand new thing. And now a week later, it's constant.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Much it's money. It's mind blowing.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hi.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting the percentages of like how much happiness do you have control over because they're like, it's 50% genes, so genetic, you know, whatever
kind of chemical
reactions you got going on. 10% external factors and environmental.
Only 10%.
Which is like way less than I thought.
Yeah.
And then so 40% intentional behavior. So 40% of happiness you really have a lot of control over, more than you think,
chunk.
Which is really great.
Choices you
so
make.
Just constantly varying what you do, change in variety is the biggest help with happiness.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I feel like I'm sort of resistant to change.
Mm. Me too. I feel like I tend to choose to not be happy just in a subtle way. Like I wrote this out in my journal the other day that I know certain things always make me happy, like getting good sleep and eating healthy and exercise and writing. And yet I avoid those things like all the time.
Yeah.
Why is that? Like I intentionally eat something that's going to make me feel bad just because I want like a sugar rush or something like that.
Yeah.
Or I intentionally avoid exercise because I just don't feel like doing it, even though I know it's going to make me feel good.
Right.
Why?
Yeah. No, it's
because it's work to be happy. Like it does take effort.
I guess so.
It does take effort.
It's easier.
Lazy.
Well, I think it's easier to be unhappy. And I have met people and been close to people who are like comfortable being miserable.
Yeah.
And it's almost like, oh man. And I don't think we're like that. I think sometimes we're just kind of like, oh, I don't want to do. I know I could be functioning at a higher level, but I'm tired.
Yeah. We also are doing a lot all the time.
We're doing a lot.
Yeah.
You know what? We're fine.
We're fine.
Well, we've also talked about how you kind of like prepare yourself for the worst when you're too happy. Like sometimes I get so happy. Happy, then I'm like, oh my god, this is all temporary, you know, where you kind of like you're preparing like, oh, when's this gonna end? And then you get in your head about like, okay, let's just prepare, let's not enjoy it too much, let's not be too present, because this is all gonna go to shit eventually, you know.
Oh my god, I
get really, really scared about that, and I tell you guys that I have like really awful compulsive like thoughts about death, that I do not even try to think about death, and I'm just like, oh, it's looming over me like at all times. I probably need to see like a death specific therapist. But because, and I told you, I just didn't start getting those feelings until I felt super happy and content with my life. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh my god, this is all
temporary.
Go
away.
That is terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe it's part of that where it's like you're kind of more like in this weird in-between phase because, yeah, if you're so happy and then it disappears, then you're really, really fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something about happiness you don't trust.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, this is the universe tricking me.
Yeah. How about the woman who was the...
The truck?
The pageant. Oh, she was like a pageant queen. She was so beautiful. And then...
That was brutal.
She had an accident where she got like run over by a truck and it crushed her face. And she says that she's happier now. She's had a bunch of reconstructive surgery. She does not look remotely like the same person. She's living a different life.
Yeah.
Her husband left her. Like, just...
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And like that look story, at what she looked like after the accident and to where she had gotten to.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow. That's
science.
Incredible work they were able to do.
And her new husband, her new husband's name is Happy. I mean, that's like, what?
What
the fuck happened there?
Yeah.
Well, the craziest part, the truck accident triggered this old trauma from her past.
Whoa,
where she discovered that she had been molested by her father.
Yeah.
And she's still claiming to be happier knowing all this and going through that accident than she was before all of this happened. Because she's like no longer living in a state of denial. It's brought a lot of healing to her. She's like living her authentic self, all these things. And it's like, Jesus. Yeah, like you said, like, okay, if that woman can be happy, I'm a fucking asshole when I complain.
Yeah. She's right? Like she said she was more grounded and centered and connected. And I was like, wow. And she was working with other people who were, you know, that was the coolest thing. That was the thing I got out of it the most, maybe the documentary was just, you know, the guy at the end working at the hospital for the death and dying, dying hospital, where he was like giving back. He wanted to give back with interest. And I thought that was so interesting and was a kind of a wake up call for me where I was like, oh my gosh, like, I feel like that's something that I've definitely been missing is that, you know, some sort of volunteer work or something like that where you feel like you're contributing as opposed to just like taking all the time working on your own stuff and your own goals.
Comedians have very selfish lives for the most part, you know? We're very like self-centered and self-focused because it's all
you
about
have to
just
be,
us
unfortunately.
Like we're working alone in general.
You are your business, and self-promotion is a big part of that business, and you by yourself on stage is the business. Like, it is. You can get so self-centered and so self-absorbed. Like, I remember I was, when I was really deep into it, and I was doing it a lot, I forgot my little sister's birthday, and I'm like, this should not be happening.
Right,
I should not be so over-focused on myself that I'm forgetting about the people I love and not seeing them enough or talking to them enough.
Yeah.
And so if you're not so conscious about that, it can totally spiral. We all know people where it's already they're too far gone. It's like you gotta really make an effort for that kind of stuff. Any kind of career where like you are your business and you are your product is really tough.
And I think that gets romanticized, that idea that you like ruin your relationships in order to be successful, like you always see that in the movie about the origin story.
Devil Wears Prada
yes. Or like, you know, Steve Jobs is a bad dad or whatever, but he's a billionaire, like all that kind of stuff. And so there is a degree of that, and it's hard, especially with comedy, because you want to be like true to who you are, but you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. But also, like, sometimes you're like, I'll hurt all the feelings if it means I have 3 new minutes.
Right. Give it to me.
Just give it to me.
I thought it was really interesting when they talked about how even though we are living better lives, like as far as our environments are better, all this stuff, that happiness has been kind of stagnant, that basically once your basic needs are met, there's not much of a difference between making 50 grand a year versus 50 million a year.
Yes.
Like once those basic needs are met, there's not a whole lot of difference
crazy.
In happiness, which is crazy. They said it's a big difference. Like, you know, if you go from being homeless to making 10 grand a year, that's a huge difference, obviously, because now you know where your meals are coming from and all that stuff. But once those needs are met and you can pay for, you know, the basic stuff, that's like, that blows my mind.
What do you, so you and I are kind of both about to maybe move into new apartments.
Yes.
That are hopefully upgrades.
Yeah.
Than what we're in right now. How does that make you feel hearing that? Because for me, it made me feel like, oh, should I even bother moving if my needs are being met, but I just want something a little bit nicer? Is it really going to make that much of a difference?
But depends on what your needs are. Because I know, obviously, basic human needs, food, water, shelter, of course. But to me, I need natural sunlight. Yeah. That makes me happy. Yeah. I am not getting that in my apartment.
Yeah.
I need to be able to walk outside in my neighborhood and not feel like I'm going to get robbed or jumped.
Yeah.
That's a basic need. I need to be able to, I like being able to like walk to markets and restaurants. Like I'm a fucking basic bitch. Same. Like I need that shit.
Yeah.
I want a dog and our apartment is not pet friendly. Like they're not basic needs, but they're basic bitch needs.
Once your basic bitch needs are met. You can't get much happier.
I think that has to be like a t-shirt eventually. Yeah. Basic bitch needs. But I think
we'll make a pyramid.
They're simple and basic and small enough to where they're attainable. And I think they will increase my happiness and well-being a lot by just doing a little.
Sure.
You know,
that makes sense.
Just we're going to be moving probably 5 or 6 streets away. It's really not that big of a difference.
Wow.
But it makes a huge difference for our area. Like, it's crazy. LA is crazy.
And also, you're not making different amounts of money. You're just moving into a different situation within your means.
Right.
So it still kind of applies to this.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah. So I think
you can move.
I think you kind of figure out like what makes you the happiest.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? For sure.
Boom. Well, that's all the extrinsic versus intrinsic goals, which are money, image, status, which is like just all career stuff. Social media. And then intrinsic goals are personal growth, relationships, and a desire to help other people. And it's so true. Like, even when I left LA and thought I was going to be like this huge mistake, it just made my life so much better because I was focusing on my relationships with my family and like personal growth and what was best for me. And I wasn't focused on like the image of like, I'm in LA, I'm grinding it out, like we're all going to brunch, you know, like I was just like, I'm doing what
fuck
I want
your brunch, right,
yeah,
man.
Fuck your brunch. They were saying like, yeah, people who focus on intrinsic goals are way happier.
Yes, absolutely. So they found that basically a lot of the trends, having close family and friends and a sense of community and get in the flow of something that you enjoy. Yeah. What did you think about the people who live in like communal situations? Of course, again, Denmark, happiest place on earth.
Of course.
So the Danish are crushing it. They got free healthcare and free education. They live in these like little tribal areas or whatever. Or these, you know, these communities of people.
They're like adult sororities.
Yeah.
Which is a nightmare. Like watching that part, I was like, absolutely not. Well, could not pay me enough.
Totally. It is interesting. Yeah. In part, like their communities, like you only have to cook dinner like once or twice a month because every family takes turns like cooking
fun.
Dinner.
I'd be like, excuse me, did you cook this with wine or with peanuts? Like I would be the worst person to have in
She'd
a community.
She'd be voted off the island real quick.
She gotta go. She cannot be here.
Yeah, I couldn't go that far to be like, I could live with a bunch of strangers that become my family. But I can say that I like, as an adult, being able to kind of choose your family with your friends.
Totally.
Because I spend a lot more time with my friends and my family. And just, you end up having more things in common with the people that you choose to be around. Nothing against my family. My family's great. But we're all at very different areas of our lives and have different interests and stuff like that. So maybe I'm being a dick when I say I might enjoy a friend gathering over dinner versus a family gathering over dinner better. I know I'm going to get so much shit. So much shit at Thanksgiving. But no, I mean, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it depends. If I'm like with my like core family members, I'm like totally down for that. But sometimes the extended family, then you get some outliers. You're like, well, I maybe wouldn't have chosen to spend my time with you, but you're in my, you know, family, whatever.
Absolutely.
What do you guys think about Karoshi, the death by overwork? That gave me so much anxiety.
That hit me.
Scary, dude.
That actually, because I was definitely in an overworked feeling today where like I flew back. Soon as I got home, was recording, editing our podcast. Then it wasn't working. I just was like, ugh. And then I went to the grocery store trying to like cram in Happy before coming here. Watching that Karoshi part, I could feel how tired I was and getting that burnt out feeling again where I just was like, I need to lie down on the couch. I can still be hearing Happy in the background, but I need to like just relax a little bit.
Yeah.
Even the difference of lying down than sitting up does make a little bit of a difference.
Totally.
But man, that hit hard.
Yeah. And for people who don't know, it's in Japan, they're so focused on economical growth and business, and they work crazy, crazy long hours. And that's like a big focus of, you know, their whole society. And people, like, it's a common thing for just like men to die at young ages
of
overwork and like heart attack and fatigue and all this crazy stuff, and people have just accepted it as like kind of the
norm. Let's think of a word.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, they invented a word for it called karoshi, and there are like karoshi ceremonies for people who've lost their husbands and loved ones to being overworked, go and like chant songs. And I'm like, wow, this is nuts.
Terrifying.
It really freaked me out. I'm so glad I have you guys, because we help keep each other in check so much more than if we did not have each other.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's really helpful to take a step back and be like, okay.
Yeah. Even you guys were like, I texted you guys today, like, I have 3 comedy shows that I don't want to do. What should I do? They're like, you don't have to do them.
Yes.
We're
just,
so quick.
Just cancel them.
Yeah.
And I canceled 2 out of the 3. I told Taylor, because the third one, and it's like, all right, it's paid. And it's like a friend. And like, okay, whatever. But I canceled, you know, the majority. But there's that weird pull still that I'm like, oh, maybe it'll be different this time. Maybe I'll enjoy it. Maybe I'll fall in love with it again. Yeah. Even though the last 3 years has been the same shit over and over, I think I'm magically going to be like, I love it. Yeah. I'm going to do it. You know, like there's that weird, like little glimmer of hope for whatever reason. But I have learned to just like, I have to like, this has got to be over. I don't know if I can do the whole 10% in type of thing. I think I got to go cold turkey for a while.
Yeah, which I think I was you're right. About. Well, and it's so funny because I think it's like you want to want it. It's like how we feel about a more domestic,
yes,
normal lifestyle. It's like we want to want that, but we want this stand-up thing, and you want to want the stand-up thing, but you want this other domestic thing.
God, yeah, true. What the fuck, right?
But it's just, and if you were here, you'd want that.
Right.
So, you know, yeah,
right.
Just want what you want and do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to admit that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's hard to admit that I just like want to be in my apartment with my boyfriend and a dog eating
dinner.
That's
okay. So you know, like, it's okay.
I don't know why. Because I think
you're healthy.
Well, you live in Los Angeles where, like,
yes.
If you lived anywhere else, I don't think you'd think twice about it.
Right.
But because you're surrounded by this culture of like going, doing, pursuing,
achieving, over.
Yeah. It is like reflecting shit back to you that you don't need.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Sorry, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to say that you guys, I don't know, you can create another name for another segment. whatever happened for me with New York, that for the first time in 3 years, I decided actively, even after I already bought airfare, like that takes so much for me to not.
Yes.
Like follow through with something after I've bought airfare, because I'm really careful with money. But I reached out to you guys and I was like, I'm feeling super burnt out, and like I bought a ticket to New York, but I really think I need to just take this month off.
Yeah,
I feel just the thought of being on that 6-hour flight and then like the hour and a half lift right into the city, and like being on no sleep, I was like, I can't do it right now.
Yeah.
As much as I love when I get there and being there, it is exhausting. I am under a lot of pressure every time I'm there because like the shows are high stakes.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't. I just felt like I cannot do this.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful to have you guys be like, yeah, you don't need to. You're the only person making yourself do this.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh man.
That's been such a huge thing. I think all three of us have gotten over the course of doing this podcast, is just realizing that we are the ones making us crazy.
Oh,
nobody,
yeah.
Nobody who cares about it is like, work harder. Like,
no.
You know, everyone's like, take a fucking break.
No. Yeah, it's the opposite. It's people telling us like, you can
calm down.
Yeah. Like, no.
Yeah.
It's all self-imposed.
So if you're feeling burnt out, we're giving you permission.
Yeah.
Right
yeah.
now. Take break. A break.
Oh, take a nap.
Thought it was interesting. Oh, yeah.
I have to go. Take
off. Okay.
Because I have a show. But are you guys going to finish up?
Yes.
Okay,
we'll
cool.
Up. Just wrap
bye,
it up,
guys. Quick. I'm really sorry that I have to leave. I have a show.
Okay, that's a show.
I know. Yeah. I'm not missing that much, right?
No.
It's weird. Like,
we're
going to
wrap up
in.
And then do like the usual. The
perfect.
Usual
okay.
We'll plug your socials for
thank
you.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
You
want to say right now.
All have fun. Go kill it.
Love you. Have fun.
Love you. Bye bye.
Wow, we've never done this before where it's down to two.
Now I'm,
what happens? What if I just burp?
I'm looking at you like, who are you?
Wow, I've never seen your face
I know.
So close. Yeah, so the radicals being less happy when they delved into religion a little bit, which we have all discussed.
Yes.
But yeah, I felt like, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously the people that are just like so pro hatred are not happy people.
Of course.
That makes a lot of sense.
Of course. Yeah. Did watching it make you ask yourself if you're happy?
Absolutely.
Do you think you're
absolutely.
Happy?
Yes. I think it's so stupid. The only thing holding me back from being really happy is ending stand-up.
Wow.
Which I know that I can do with a simple text, you know?
Yeah.
And switching my day job, which I told you guys the whole plan with that over the next, you know, 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
Once those are kind of like in check, I feel like I will be like really living my best life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Yeah. I feel like I'm already very happy, but I know I can tweak a couple things to where I really feel like fulfilled every single day on a daily basis and not going through the motions. I hate that feeling of just like very being robotic.
Oh, yes.
Waking up, just doing it and not feeling alive, not feeling, you know, there.
Yeah.
And I want to eliminate anything that makes me feel that way.
Totally.
So yeah. What about you?
Yeah. I was like, I think I'm happy, which probably means that like some things need to change. But a lot of it for me has been like my home and not really feeling like I have a home.
Yes.
Because I've gone back and forth, you know, telling you and Taylor, like, I think I'm moving to New York. I think I need to get to New York. And then now we've got this amazing situation with our podcast where it's doing so well. And we have this beautiful recording space, and Kane just took a job that he loves. And all of a sudden it's like, it doesn't make any sense anymore to completely uproot and go to New York. But I've also expressed a lot of like disdain for LA, and just it's tough because you and Taylor are from California originally.
Yes.
And even though neither of you are from like LA proper, I think just the state of California has a certain vibe that if you are from here, especially Southern California, it does kind of probably feel more like home to you. Whereas for me, Washington State is like nothing like California.
Right.
I mean, just every part of it, the way it looks, the weather, the people, no part of it. And so it's been tough for me because I feel like I've been patient. I've lived here for over 3 years and I still have had a hard time connecting to this city. And just so I think that's kind of kept me in this weird limbo, like what you talk about, what you just said about just kind of like waiting for something to happen to feel happy.
Yeah.
Where you're almost just like days are just disposable. You're just like, I'm just trying to get through the days till I get to the place where I'm happy. I don't want to live like that.
Right.
So that's why we've been talking about trying to move into a nicer place that I'm like looking forward to coming home to more. I'm exactly like you, where just very basic bitch, like I want to walk out. Like they're building a new Whole Foods in Burbank. I'm like, if I could walk to a Whole Foods, like I would be so happy.
Life change.
And also I would just, I would be healthier. If I could be within walking distance of Whole Foods, I would eat healthier. There are certain things that, I mean, if Kane and I can afford to make a move, it would really help a lot.
I think you should. I think that whole kind of in-between thing, I think you need to kind of make the decision to be grounded here. And you probably haven't made that decision. You'd be like, well, everything has kind of felt temporary.
Yes.
Well, you even told me that you guys have been here for 3 years and you had just purchased like a dresser or something that you felt like this is a real piece of furniture. You know what I mean?
Yes. Well, and we just got new bedding. Like every part of our apartment to me had been like temporary.
Yes.
It had all just been like, okay, well, let's just get this in here now. It's like, it's $10. You know, so we have something to like set a picture frame on.
Right.
But I didn't really have anything in that apartment that felt like home to me or important. And I'm telling you, I really hope that Brooklinen sponsors us at some point, because those Brooklinen sheets are the best sheets I've ever slept on in my life. Like they're nicer than hotel sheets. They are the best $200 I've ever spent. But again, it's hard for me to spend that kind of money because I feel guilty.
Yeah.
But it's like, we could afford a nicer place if I wasn't making, you know, $200 sheet purchases every month. So if I'm just looking at that, it's like, okay, that's a one-time thing that'll last you for years.
You use it every day.
Oh,
use it every day.
Yes.
Yeah, it's worth it.
They're so amazing. I'm telling you, like, again, we are not sponsored by Brooklinen, but if you want some new sheets that really are going to just make you feel like so much more well-rested and like happy in bed.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, the nice thing is, like, especially this is what I love about minimalism. If you really get down to like the bare necessities plus a few things that you love and enjoy, you're going to spend less money on stuff. And the money that you do spend is going to be so worth it because you're going to know it's really important to you.
Yeah.
Because like once I got rid of like 70% of my belongings the past couple of years, I think completely differently. Like,
really?
Before I buy something, I'm like, do I love it? I will let it sit there in a shop for a couple weeks before I buy something.
Wow. Yeah. That's such a great method.
Yeah. Or, you know, if I've like, I know I love this because I know what it feels like when I love something, I will get it. But yeah. I'm very choosy about what I bring into my home.
Yeah.
And things are, oh, you know, you're always acquiring stuff through holidays and birthdays and stuff like that. I always have just a constant stream of stuff leaving my apartment.
Yes.
Because I don't want to hold on to anything. So yeah, having nice sheets that you enjoy, that's so
it
worth
just makes
it.
It's less disposable.
Yeah, instead of buying like 20 that is a piece of shit, and then you have just 20 awful sheets that you hate in your closet.
Yeah,
right.
Also, from a financial point of view, if you're kind of like me and you get all weird about like spending too much money, I've probably spent more money on like disposable shitty bedding in the last couple years.
Yes.
Than if I would have just from the get go bought nice sheets
exactly.
once. And taking good care of them instead of going to IKEA and getting like the same shitty $40 comforter over and over that gets gross within like five washes.
Exactly.
So this is also we talked about that we wanted to share this with listeners.
Oh,
speaking of home stuff.
Oh, man.
So last episode, I said that one of my treat myself was to get an essential oil diffuser.
Yeah.
And then I found out through a friend on Instagram that they are actually incredibly toxic to pets, to dogs and cats. So
unbelievable. How can they not have the warning on?
I don't
do they
know
have
how this
a warning?
Is not more. No, I didn't see anything
it's
on
so
there.
It's so weird to me.
It's such a bummer that this isn't more well known. And it worries me for, I mean, because I feel like I'm a really good pet owner, but I had no idea.
No idea.
I've been pumping these essential oils into the air for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And what they said is that it really builds up in animal systems and they cannot break it down and it's lethal. Like it will kill them.
That is fucking awful. I don't know how that is allowed to not be written somewhere. Like,
I
hey,
know.
If you're a pet owner, do your research or whatever. I know it can cause like skin rashes and reactions and all kinds of stuff. But I'm very I read deeper into it, and of course, there's like these might be okay, these might not. Keep it in a safe room. But once I hear something like that, I'm like, it's all or nothing, dude.
Exactly.
If I have a pet, it is not worth having this around for me to smell peppermint every once in a while,
dude.
If it's gonna hurt my dog. So I'm really sad because I love my oil diffuser.
Me too.
I use it on a daily basis, but Cam and I are going to adopt a dog when we get into our new apartment.
So
I'm like, babe, this is the last few months with our oil diffuser. We got to enjoy it because once we get a dog, like, it's not worth it to me.
Me too. So. I felt the exact same way where the parts was like, well, I mean, you can keep it in one room and just make sure that your pets never go in that room. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to be able to enjoy that at all. I'm going to be having anxiety attacks that they're like somehow breathing it in from under the door. And it's just not worth it.
So super bummed. But yeah, if you know anything, I know that some people kind of wrote in about like on the Facebook group. If you know anything else about essential oils or anything that might be pet friendly or like an alternative, I would like to know just because I'd like my apartment smelling good. So if there's something else that you guys use that, you know, somebody told you is like a good alternative, whether it's a certain candle or something, please tell us because our basic bitch asses are gonna miss that shit.
I know. And then one of my friends told me that candles are now bad because like the soot, like the black stuff that comes up gets in your lungs and then doesn't go anywhere. And I'm like,
oh great,
god damn it, what can we have?
Just open the windows and bake a pie, I guess. That's where you're gonna smell delicious.
Because I'm obsessed with good smells. I really like that. Affects my mood so much.
Yeah.
But now I don't know what's safe and what's not safe for the pets. It's driving me crazy. Or for us, if we're breathing in fucking soot.
Right.
Like, what is this?
Please tell us. Seriously. Self-helpless podcast.
I'm working in a coal mine or something. Yeah. I'm like, why? I don't want to be worried about this. I want to light some cinnamon bun candle from Bath & Body Works, not think twice about it.
Yeah, please. Write into selfhelplesspodcast@gmail.com if you know of any alternatives that are friendly for
Maybe
our
bodies.
Maybe
we can put little essential oil drops in our car. Because cars, like,
oh,
no
yeah.
pets. Well, I mean,
oh.
we'll just take your dog in your car.
Yeah, I'd probably take my dog. I plan on taking that guy everywhere.
Shit.
Yeah.
It's
no.
so tough.
It's really weird.
I was going to give it to Taylor because she doesn't have any pets. So
oh, yeah.
I have to give that to her the next
time
I see her. But just be aware of that, you guys.
Yeah.
If you have an essential oil diffuser at home and you have pets, just
do it.
Be careful.
Oh, another thing I wanted to give some of those. What was that town called? Ottawa. They were so cute. Those little ladies that are just BFFs. Yeah. So living on this island, right?
Yeah, it's an island community in Japan. So like part of Japan is, you know, Tokyo, where they are the most overworked and some of the most unhappy. And then there's a part of Japan where it is some of the happiest, and the people who live the longest in the world live on this island.
So crazy.
Crazy,
and they
right?
are just adorable, and it's just like, yeah, your neighbors are your best friends, and that's how we live. And you can tell, like, they're all very, really, really close women.
Yeah,
and they don't know exactly why that there's so many. They have more over 100 year olds on that island than anywhere else in the world. And they're like,
crazy.
Yeah, we just, you know, enjoy each other's company, and it's mostly about like tranquility and enjoying yourself. I'm like, oh shit, they're doing something right. We need to bring some of that over here. We can just ship a couple of those people over to like be guest speakers at every community in America. That would be great.
I was laughing at parts of the documentary because a lot of it, you know, is showing like impoverished areas or these other areas where it's like nicer, but everything, they're not speaking any English, so it's just all translated and subtitles. And I just thought it'd be so, like, what if in the impoverished areas the guy's like, I hate my neighbors, like I fucking hate our home so much, but they're just like, we're just gonna make it look like this guy's super happy.
God,
just for the effect of this documentary. But no, I mean, they all do genuinely seem like incredibly happy, which is it does make you feel like shit.
Totally.
You're like, well, I have so many great things and these people have nothing and they're blissful.
It's super, it's such a weird, it's a weird concept because to me, like, the line between enlightenment and like crazy or manic is kind of a thin line.
Yeah.
Where, like, you hear about those people, oh, that person up and quit their job and moved to Hawaii and then now they sell ice cream cones, you know what I mean? Like, you sometimes your initial thoughts like, whoa, that person went fucking ape shit. But or they could just be like, I hate my job, I hate my life, I'm gonna go do something about it and fuck everything, bye. And now they're just living the best life ever. So it's one of those things where maybe something that you think is crazy or something that, you know, somebody else thinks is crazy is the most sane thing you can do.
God, you're right.
Right? Like, it's just that weird, like that one guy who just likes to surf all day, every day, and lives in a very small place.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, I like surfing with my son on the beach.
Yeah.
You know, or the people, I think, what was it, Louisiana or something, where they just,
oh my gosh,
they like, yeah, they
just
catch
crab.
They catch crab and they have family dinners once a week with their whole neighborhood. Yeah, it's like
just eating on newspaper.
I mean, yeah, they look so happy.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. It's kind of, and then of course the contrast between interviewing people on like Wall Street where it's like, what do you want? I want success and happiness and money. Okay. What do you think is going to make you more happy? More money. Like, you know, it's like,
deadpan. Like, did not see how that could be.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. It's, I think a big takeaway in general from the documentary is the importance of having amazing people in your life and like how much true happiness friendship brings. And you and I both have these very like long friendships in our lives.
Oh, yeah.
And dude, my time with them, I mean, I talked about it that recently I got to spend the last couple weekends in a row with my best friends from home, and it is, there's nothing like it.
No,
it's the best.
No,
I'm so happy. Oh, yeah. It makes me want to drink more, which is not like necessarily a great thing.
Makes me want to celebrate.
Yeah,
I'm
not trying to tell everybody on the podcast to drink more, but that's not healthy. But it just, I don't know, I feel like I loosen up more a lot around them. I'm not so focused on work. I'm more focused on how can we make the most of this time. I get so present.
Because
it's like, we all are busy. We only have like this weekend together. So every moment I'm with them, I'm like, okay, I don't want to be on my phone. I don't want to be doing something like some bullshit thing that I could do any other time. Like, let's do something cool because we're all together.
Yeah.
I love it.
No, I never feel more like connected or alive or present than when you have a really good conversation with somebody close to you.
And like right now.
Like right now. Yeah, we're touching. My best friend Melissa, every time we go to brunch, we end up just crying and drinking. You know, like it's we end up in that little long spiral conversation about our lives and how much we love each other. And we always end up just like in tears, like, this was such a great day. You know?
It's
just like
that.
Us sitting somewhere, you know, with like a nice view or something. But just the simple things, dude. That's the thing. I really have no interest in owning a home or like accumulating stuff. I'm like, it brings me a lot of anxiety just to even think about feeling trapped or tied down or stuck.
Yeah.
And that's what stuff makes me feel. And, you know, Cam's mentioned, like, you know, he'd like to own a house one day and all that stuff. And I was like, okay, I get it. Like, that's, if that's like your dream, like, we'll make that happen and stuff like that. But if it was up to me, I would just live in like a really nice small apartment indefinitely.
Right.
And just have everything really small and just be able to maintain. Right. You know, I never want to try to like live beyond my means. I never want to bite off more than I can chew with like, I'm going to get this house because I really love it, but I can't afford it. So I'm just going to, we'll see. I think a lot of people can create stress for themselves as adults, whether it's like what society tells you to do, like, oh, you gotta get married and then buy a house and have two and a half children. You don't have to do those things. And if you feel pressure to do those things, you should probably ask yourself why.
Yeah.
Where's the pressure coming from? And do those people look happy that rush into all that stuff?
God, you're right.
Because like, here's the thing. I don't see a lot of good examples of people who have those lifestyles who are truly genuinely happy.
Agreed.
And that I hopefully nobody takes offense to that, it, like, personally, but I just,
it might not be you might be genuinely happy.
It might not be you. I've just seen there's more examples that I don't want than what I do want. Of course there's some great ones out there, but until I see more of the good ones, I'm very wary of making those next steps. How do you feel about that?
Exact same. Okay. I was just thinking about that today. I was walking through the airport and there's a mom with a kid that looked maybe like 3 years old, and he was throwing a huge tantrum, just like sitting on the floor screaming in the middle of the airport. And I was like, oh my God, that looks like such a fucking nightmare.
Yeah.
And I struggle with that all the time with having kids. And there's a lot of times where I'm like, yeah, I think I'd really like that. And I think I'd be a really good mom. And there's other times where I'm like, do I just think that because everybody does that?
Right.
I was thinking, I wish that it was less common to have kids. I wish it seemed like more of a choice.
Ah.
You know?
That's interesting.
That's because people say it is a choice, and it is, but there is a lot of pressure in society. It's still very, very common to have kids more often than to not.
Absolutely.
So I wonder if it wasn't so common, if I would want them.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I'm definitely still on the fence about that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I go back and forth. I'm leaning towards yes, just because I think that's where I'd I think when I think about the pros and cons of, like, you know, living like on the road and doing stand-ups, like, there's such great highs doing that and such really great things that you get to experience that. And then if you're, you know, living the more conventional lifestyle, there's some things that, like, well, if I'm going to live this lifestyle,
right,
there's some things that I want to experience just because I can take advantage of it, which is like adopting a dog, you know, like stuff like that, where, like, I would not be able to do that or want to do that if I was gone all the time, because, you know, not around for it. So I think that, you know, my life will kind of lead towards the kids realm, just because I'll feel more equipped to, like, be around for that to happen.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
But shit. Oof.
And you'd be a great mom.
Oh, thanks. You would too.
Oh, I'm a good cat mom. That's the thing.
You're a good cat mom.
I'm a very good cat mom.
You are.
But humans are different. Small children different.
One other thing. I thought it was really interesting when they did some kind of a study. I can't remember what it was. But when you put a group of people in a room together, a group of strangers, and you ask them, okay, you have the opportunity. You can either cooperate with each other or you can compete against each other. What do you all want to do? And most of the time they say cooperate.
Yeah.
They want to collaborate. Which I thought was a nice, nice kind of, I don't know, it's a nice peek into humanity, I guess.
Sure,
like, just like what's inside of you. Like our nature is we want to be communal and helpful with each other versus be total dickheads.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so absolutely. So, that is really nice to see that.
Yeah. If you ever feel like you're going against I'm competing, or I'm, you know, with this person, like if it feels weird or unnatural, it's against our nature.
Yeah.
We should be more communal and tribal. Oh, I like the gratefulness practices too. We all got to practice the gratefulness.
Practicing gratitude.
Yes. I really liked it.
I did too. It's an easy watch. You guys.
Yeah.
It's very helpful. So this episode is coming out next week on the 14th. So, I'm going to Vegas next weekend for for Kane's sister's wedding. That'll be so fun. And you're in.
I'm here.
Making them dick mugs,
I have,
baby.
Yeah, I have one more show on my calendar that I'm going to do. And then after that, I'm indefinitely taking a break from stand-up. I thought that I could... Thank you. High-fiving it out. Yeah, I thought that I could kind of keep it around like 1 to 10%, but I'm going to go cold turkey indefinitely until I really want to get back up doing it. Yeah. And then, yeah, my special will be coming out soon. It's done, and I'll be making an announcement soon where you can catch it. And yeah, again, Dicks by Delaney is going to be launching this summer.
Yay. Yeah. Also, our second Patreon episode went up today. So yeah, just again, if you haven't heard the spiel about it, it's five bunks.
You can bunk with us, baby.
$5 a month for two bonus episodes where we answer your guys' amazing emails into us. So,
yeah. Or if $5 is too hefty, which I understand, you can just donate $1 a month to us or any other favorite artist on there. Yeah. So you can just like just sponsor us for $1 just to, you know,
yeah,
to go towards our long-term goals for the pod.
Yeah. So go check that out. Subscribe to us on iTunes if you haven't yet. Take a second to give us that 5-star rating and review. They go up literally every day. It makes me so happy.
Very nice.
I check it compulsively. So do that if you can. It really does help the show. Yeah. And I'm at Kelsey Cook on Twitter, at Kelsey Cook Comedy on Instagram, and KelseyCook.com for tour dates.
I'm at Delaney Fisher on all the things and DelaneyFisher.com.
Yay.
Yay.
Taylor is at T-Tom Comedy on Instagram, at Taylor Tomlinson on Twitter, T-TomComedy.com for tour dates. And I'm almost 100% sure that this coming weekend is when she's headlining at Comedy Works in Denver. So definitely be sure to go see her there. It's such an amazing club and she's going to crush it. So I think that's it.
Boom. Love you guys.
Love you guys. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Why won't it let me be looking inside?